Revelation chapter 2. In Revelation chapter 2 and 3, John writes of the Lord Jesus Christ here writing to the seven churches that are in Asia Minor. And all of them, he knew their work. If you go and look at that, he knew what work they were doing and what work they were not doing. So you know what that tells me? Listen to me now this morning. You know what that tells me? That he knows our work. And he knows your work. And he knows our lack of work this morning and whether we've labored or not. And I believe that if you read about these seven churches, they all had rebuke but two. I believe the church in Smyrna and the Philadelphia church. I heard a preacher preach on this some time ago, and he said, all of them but one. I've still not found any, I've not found any rebuke to the church of Smyrna. If you find it, you let me know. But in Revelation chapter 2, look in verse 1. The Bible says, unto the angel of the church of Ephesus write, these things saith he that holdeth the seven stars in his right hand, who walketh in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks. If you go back to chapter 1, that will tell you who that is. That is the Lord Jesus Christ. I know thy works and thy labor and thy patience, and how thou canst not bear them which are evil, and thou hast tried them which say they are apostles, and are not, and hast found them liars, and hast borne and hast patience, and for my name's sake hast labored and hast not fainted. Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. Remember therefore from whence thou art fallen, and repent, and do the first works, or else I will come unto thee quickly, and will remove thy candlestick out of his place, except thou repent. You can be seated this morning. As we look in this passage of scriptures, he deals with the church at Ephesus. Now, he has some good things, and that to say about the church at Ephesus. If you look right here, he said, first of all, he said, I know thy works. He said, not only do I know thy works, he said, I know your works and your labor. At least there is a difference between working and labor. You can work, but not labor. But you can't labor without work. I mean, that's just how it is. And let me say that in our Christian life, if you're going to serve the Lord, it's going to be labor. I mean, it's labor intensive sometimes in serving the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, listen, it's going to get good as I preach this morning, okay? Some of you are already worried. Listen this morning. It'll get good, I hope, that it'll get good. But notice, he said, I know your works and your labor. He said, I know the patience that you've had. He said, you've had patience. You've bore out patience. He said, you can't even bear them. Which are evil. You won't even put up with evilness. You won't even put up with wickedness. You won't deal with it in the sense of taking it in. He said, you've despised that sin. And he said, and you've tried them, which say they are apostles and are not, and has found them liars. He said, you, those that come in that said they were apostles, he said, you put them to the test and found out whether they were or not. Just because somebody says they're a preacher, don't believe everything that they tell you. Amen? Hey, listen, it'll tell on them after a while. Just because somebody says they're saved, listen, don't believe it all the time. I see what their life bears out. You know, there are fruits to a Christian's life, and there's fruits in that to be spiritual. And he said, and thou hast born. You know what that word born means? That means carried or supported. You know what they've done? They have hauled the load when the load needed to be moved. They've done what they've needed to do, and they've had to bear up under it. And he says, and you have had patience. In the service to Christ, they've had patience. They've waited for God to move. They've waited for God to work. They've waited to see God do something. Have you ever had to do that in your life? Just wait on God. Just sit still and be still and wait on God to do something. Have you ever had to do that? He said, you've had patience. In the midst of tribulations, you've had patience. You've not quit. How do you know? Because we come down through here and he said, and for my name's sake, thou hast labored and hast not fainted. Notice he said again, I know the labor that you've done, but you've not fainted. Listen, if we could picture this as that, the church at Ephesus had to be an independent Baptist church, amen. I mean, they had it going on, they knew what was happening, they knew what was going on, but I want you to look what the Lord said in the very next verse, but he said, I have won. He said, nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. I believe the church at Ephesus, and I've preached a message on this thought before, on they served more out of duty than they did out of desire. They served because that was the right thing to do, not because they desired to do it. They had left their first love. And that's really what I want to preach on. In leaving our first love, and notice what he said. There were three things I had to do, and that's what I want to look at. He said in verse 5, he said, "Remember therefore from whence thou art fallen, and repent, and do the first works." Return back to what you need to do. Number one, let me say that first of all, the Lord, as he had a problem with them, they had left their first love. He said, first of all, number one, he said, "I want you to remember from where you were fallen." I want you to remember something. Hey, let me ask you this morning. How many of you remember the first time you ever done anything for the Lord? Think back to it. Remember the first time you ever testified? You remember when butterflies got in your stomach and lump about that big got in your throat? But you knew you needed to testify. And boy, you just had to squeak out a few words and say something about the Lord, how good that He was and what it meant to be saved. When's the last time you ever testified about what the Lord's done for you? When's the last time that you ever just said, "Hey preacher, I just need to say something this morning. I just want to thank God for what you..." When's the last time you ever done that? But he said, you've left your first love. He said, you're bearing up under the load. You're trying those that say there are apostles, but they are not. He said, you've labored and you've borne, but you've left your first love. When's the last time you just bragged on the Lord? When's the last time that you've done what you used to do for Him? I listened to a fellow the other day as he was preaching, and he was talking about when he first got saved that he was an artist. And listen, he would paint murals and he'd do all kinds of things. And he said, "I remember when I first got saved, he was painting in a radio station." And he said, "But I remember the first time a church ever called me and wanted me to come and paint that baptistry and put that mural in there." He said, "All I could think about was having him brush in my hand, and I get to do something for the Lord." When's the last time we ever thought that way? When's the last time that we ever looked back? Hey, listen, as I studied this message, boy, I'm telling you, it hammered on me. I mean, I'm trying to do things right and be right and do everything right, but when's the last time that you just come to church looking? When's the last time that you just come looking for God to do something? When's the last time you come with excitement and joy in your heart? Say, "This COVID's messed up. Leave, forget the COVID." When's the last time you come with just joy in your heart and said, "God's going to do something today"? When's the last time that you just sung with joy in your heart? Not because the song leader said it's time to stand or it's time to come to the choir and sing, but simply because you just wanted to sing. You just wanted to sing. Amen. Say amen right there. When's the last time that you got up and sung a special? Some of you used to sing all the time. You'd give it up. Hey, listen, when's the last time that you just got up and sung because you wanted to honor God? Think about it for just a minute. He said, "Remember from whence thou art fallen." Remember, think back for a minute. Think back for just a second. When's the last time that you sung because you loved to sing? Love to sing. I love to sing, and I love to sing loud. Amen. I mean, if y'all don't know that, y'all have missed me for a long time then. Listen, I love to sing. And listen, I just love to sing about Him. I love to sing to Him. I love to sing for Him. I just love to sing. I may not be much pumping at it, but I love to do it. When's the last time that you remember? Go back, think for just a second. Think back. When you got to vacuum the church. Now think about that for just a second. When you got to clean and you got to pick up. Simply because it's the Lord's house. And boy, that's what you wanted to do. You've seen some paper scattered out on the pew and maybe some gum wrappers or candy wrappers. And you said, "I'm just going to go over there and get them and clean them up." Nobody asked you to. Nobody wanted you to. You just done it because you wanted to. Now we look at it and we say, "Well, who left them there?" And we just keep on going. Miss Sarah has to take care of it. Amen. If you ain't careful. Listen, when's the last time then? Remember, think back for just a second. He said you left your first love. Let me put it to you another way. For those that are married in here today or fixing to get married, I don't know. Listen, you remember what you used to do because you loved your wife or you loved your husband. You know what we do? We get in such a groove. Me and Miss Kelly does at our home. We love each other. And we've lived together we've been married and living together for 26 years. She knows me and I know her, but listen, I don't want to lose that romance or that spark in our life. Amen.
And you know, every now and then, you know one of the things we like to do? We just like to get out and loafer, Brother Marvin. We like to get in the car and just ride. May not have to spend no money. Now, she won't say amen right there. But we may not have to spend no money. Y'all catch that here in just a minute. Amen, what I was just saying. But we like to just go ride. Like to go see what we can see. Stop somewhere and maybe do something, you know. Just spend a little time together. When me and her first got married, we didn't have a whole lot of money. We didn't have a whole lot to do. But you know what we done? We done it together, whatever it was. You know, it's the same for the Lord. Some of us have been saved for so long that we forget what it's like to be saved. We forget what it meant to do something. He said, I want you to remember back, think about when you first got saved, and somebody asked you to teach that Sunday school class. You didn't know what you was going to do or how you was going to do it, but boy, you was tickled to death just to get to do it. How many of us have been there? Listen, I've been preaching since I was 15 years old. And sometimes I forget what it means to stand up behind this desk and preach. What do you mean, preacher? I forget the importance of it. I forget the reverence that needs to be there. I don't ever want to forget that. I don't want to ever forget that. Listen, that I was thinking either late last night or early this morning, I was thinking about how important men's and women's souls hang in the balance. As a preacher stands to preach and folk need help, as a preacher stands to preach, and it's my job to follow the Holy Spirit. It needs to be very important. Men used to preach and loved it. They don't preach no more. First time you ever done anything for the Lord. Everything was exciting. Say, well, what happened? What happened? What took all that away? And I'm getting ahead of myself here. But why are we having to remember? Something took it away, didn't it? Remember when you used to read and pray all the time? Some of you ain't never done that. Remember when you used to read your Bible and you was excited to read your Bible? I mean, just excited that you had some time, maybe took it on the job with you, and you go along during lunchtime, and maybe in your car at a desk or a table somewhere, and you just read your Bible and just knew God was going to show you something. When's the last time you ever done that? He said, remember, I want you to think back. Remember when you just couldn't wait to get here and show somebody what God had showed you through the week. I still like to see young Christians, young men, young ladies, when they're reading their Bible and they say, preacher, let me show you what God showed me this week. Now chances are, there's been times that they showed me something that I already knew, and I'd say, boy, ain't the Lord good. But you know, every now and again, God will show them something that I don't even know. Amen. I don't mean I know a lot or don't know a lot. I'm just saying, every now and again, man, He'll give them something I ain't seen. Amen. The last time you got excited. When's the last time? When's the time you just got excited about handing out a tract? When's the last time you handed out a tract? Now, this one bothered me. I used to carry tracts everywhere I went. And I'd hand them out everywhere I went. Be ready just in case God moved upon my heart. Listen, it's one thing just to be walking down the street or to be at a drive-thru or at a gas station and hand one out. But listen, when God impresses upon your heart to hand out a tract because somebody needs one, are you going to be ready? Remember. He said, remember, therefore, from whence thou art fallen. That's not a good thing when you fall, is it? Falling can hurt you. Take your Bible and go to the book of Genesis chapter 35. You find Jacob going back to Bethel. He's met with God at Bethel before. And in Genesis chapter 35... Genesis chapter 35, look in verse 1. And God said unto Jacob, arise, go up to Bethel and dwell there, and make there an altar unto God that appeared unto thee when thou fleddest from the face of Esau, thy brother. So God said, I want you to get up, I want you to go back to Bethel, I want you to make that altar. Then Jacob said unto his household and to all that were with him, put away the strange gods that are among you, and be clean, and change your garments. And let us arise and go up to Bethel, and I will make there an altar unto God, who answered me in the day of my distress, and was with me in the way which I went. And they gave unto Jacob the strange gods that were in their hand, and all their earrings that were in their ears. And Jacob hid them under the oak, which was by Shechem, and they journeyed. And you know, sometimes Jacob, he's headed back to Bethel. He's going to go back and meet with God that met with him when he was on the run from Esau. Go back to Genesis chapter 32, and you'll find that story over there. When he was on the run from Esau, God met with him. And I believe that's also where he changed his name and that to Israel over there and touched him in the hollow of his thigh over there. And I seen you drawed. But God done something for him there. You remember when God used to do something for you? Remember when God used to stir your heart? David said, I was glad when they said, let's go into the house of the Lord. Remember when you used to come to the house of God and God done something for you? Or somebody get and sing it, it didn't matter if it sounded like a hoot-house screeching or not. Man, it just stirred your soul. Now, I don't want it to sound like a hoot-house screeching. I want it to sound good. But listen, remember when God used to do something for you? When's the last time God ever done anything for you? When's the last time your soul ever got stirred? When's the last time that ever moved on the inside of you? Are we just serving because it's the right thing to do? Or are we remembering back to, boy, when we used to want to serve God and do something for God? Son, because we wanted Him to get the glory. Preach, because we wanted to point folk to Calvary. You know what He said right here? So I've got somewhat against it. He said, I want you to remember. I want you to think back, church. Listen to me now this morning. I want you to think back. Some of you ain't never left that spot, and that's good. Some of you just got saved, and you started, and you're doing. Listen, I want you to keep doing. Don't ever get to the place right here. But He told the church at Ephesus, He said, you're working, you're laboring, you've got patience, you're trying those that are evil, you're trying those that say they're apostles, you're bearing up under the Lord, you've not fainted, but yet you forgot the very beginning. He said, you forgot. Forgot the love you're supposed to have. For a minute, I want you to think back. Remember when you just used to do something for the Lord and you done it because you saved and you got to do it. Notice what He said, number two. He said, when you remember, He said, I want you to repent. I want you to repent. You know what that word repent means? To turn away from what's hindering you. Let me ask you something. Why are we having to remember this morning instead of saying, preacher, I'm still doing those things that I used to do? Why are we having to remember? Things get in our way, don't it? Let me ask you, does stuff just not get in the way sometimes? Life happens, don't it? Some of you all, when I'm talking about remembering when you first got saved and served the Lord, you didn't have any children. Might not even been married at that time. And you say, well, I've got married and boy, we've got children now and life has just encroached on us and it's changed the way that we think about things. Well, I agree with that. You got a husband or a wife now. You got children. It is going to change the way that you think about things. There's no doubt about that. But it shouldn't change about how that we serve the Lord or our excitement about how we serve the Lord. He said, remember from where you're falling. And then He said, repent. Turn away from it. Listen, has the world got in the way? You know what's got in the way of a lot of people? Jobs. Jobs has got in the way of robbing people of serving God. Don't let your job get in the way. Bad times might have gotten away. Huh? Well, preacher, we had a time where, boy, it got bad. And death came or out of circumstances, out of your control. Something bad happened. And that began to affect and weigh on your mind. And slowly but surely, you just quit doing what you were doing. And now you just sit on the church pew, and there you sit. Every now and again you'll squeak out, amen. By the way, some of you say, amen, still need to do it. I need the help, man. Amen. Huh? What's changed? Whatever's changed, you need to fix it and repent from it. Well, you know what happens to a lot of people? They get hurt in church. I get hurt in church. I've been dealing with this for a little while, it seems like, for the past few weeks. I've been dealing with folk getting hurt in church. And you know what happens? They get hurt, and they hold a grudge, or they hold bitterness in their heart, and they'll never be the same. That may be your problem. Maybe you're holding bitterness. You're harboring bitterness and hatefulness. You're harboring a grudge. You know, the Bible said in Ephesians 4:31, he said, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. He said, looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. He said, that thing's going to trouble you. You just got to repent from it. You turn from it, you look up to heaven and say, Lord, I sure ain't been, I've left you. You can't get lost again. But listen, I've just left my first love. Think back to it for just a second. You say, well, things can't be the way they were. I understand that when we do it more and more. But listen, don't lose your love for doing it. Remember why you're doing what you're doing. I don't want to buy my wife flowers on Valentine's Day because it's Valentine's Day. I want to buy them and send them to her because I love her. You follow me? Don't come to church simply because it's Sunday and we drag up and we say, well, it's another Lord's Day. We got to go to church. No, come because you love Him. Remember when you used to do that? You came because you loved Him. I'm going to pick on my wife for just a second. I'm going to try not to throw her under the bus. But I remember before we got married, man, I would be the first one at church because I was ready to go to church. Now you get a wife, sometimes you don't get to be the first one. And we'll catch on to that here in a little bit. We ain't the last one though, are we, honey? Amen. Huh? Listen, love to come. What's changed? Whatever's changed, you repent. You repent of it, you turn from it. And say, Lord, I just want to go back. What did He say, number three? What did He say? I want to go back. And He said what right here? He said, remember therefore from whence thou art fallen and repent and do the first works. You return. You go back to what you were doing. You say, well, how did I recapture that? You know, you got to fix what's wrong. Whether sin has crept in, whether it's bitterness or hatefulness. And by the way, if you got sin in your life, you need to fix that. That's going to rob you of joy. Want to rob you of joy. By the way, if you're holding that grudge, you've got to turn loose of it. If it is doubt wearing you, doubt can wear you out, by the way. Doubt can wear you out. You're going to have to settle that thing. You're going to have to trust God. You're going to have to you're just going to have to put your faith in Him. Say, Lord, I'm trusting you. You remember when you used to trust Him with the minutest thing and the littlest thing? And now we don't even do that. Remember from which thou art fallen. Repent. And then He said, do the first works. Return. Come back and do the first works. You know what Jacob done? If you go back and you read Genesis chapter 35, I read a few minutes ago. You know what he done? As they were headed back to Bethel, what was he doing? What was he doing? He took those strange gods that they had. And he said, we're going to take care of these strange gods. We're going to get them out of the way. We're going to bury them. He said, I want you to change your clothes and we're going to go meet with the Lord. He repented, didn't he? He said he buried them under the oak that was at Shechem. I always think about this when I read that. I hope they don't know which oak it was so they could go back and dig it up. Amen. Some people, they mark where they left stuff at. Some folk get indifferent to things. Just don't care, but notice he said, I want you to return. Start doing what you have stopped. You remember and then you repent, but then you return. You just start back doing what you were doing. If you used to witness with tracts, put tracts in your pocket. Say, Lord, give me somebody to talk to today. That used to be one of my prayers. Lord, put a soul that is lost in my way today. And you know what would generally happen? Somebody would come by my way. It's unreal, man. What I used to do coming down the interstate, especially at the nighttime if we were traveling, and I'd be coming down the interstate, I'd look at all them headlights coming at me, and my mind would wonder how many of them people over there saved coming at me. Don't think that way anymore. Something's happened. too much care and concern. Getting your family here at church used to be a big thing. Now, if it happens, it happens. If it don't, it don't. If you used to witness, witness again. If you used to sing, keep singing. Preachers ought to preach, singers ought to sing, teachers ought to teach. Been a long time since you testified. Why don't you testify anymore? Well, I just don't feel like it. You know, God ain't asking you whether you feel like it or not. He's worthy of your testifying. Notice he was talking to the whole church. He wasn't talking to one person. He was talking to the church at Ephesus. Could he be talking to us this morning? Because you know the scary part is he comes on down and you know I had this, as I read this, I had this message titled as 3 R's. You remember what the 3 R's were? Reading, writing, arithmetic, you know. But it was what? What did he say? He said, I want you to remember, I want you to repent, and I want you to return. But then as I kept reading and reading and reading, he said, and do the first works or else I will come to thee quickly and will what? Remove thy candlestick out of his place except thou repent. Now they were laboring. They were working. They were trying those that needed to be tried. The Lord said, something's wrong. Something's wrong. He said, if you don't return, if you don't repent and go back and start the first works again, he said, I'm going to take your candlestick away. The very fact to have light. He said, I'm going to take it away from you. I believe he said, I'm going to take the fact away of being the church from you. Now I'm going to tell you, there's a lot of folk meeting in a house this morning, and they're singing, and they're doing everything that they've done for years, but there's no light there. You know why? They've left their first love. Boy, I don't want him to take our candlestick away. I don't want him to take a candlestick away out of my life. That really concerns me. Here he's got a church that is, by all aspects, looks good. They're trying, they're working, they're bearing. They've got patience. They bore up under the load. Man, when the going got tough, the tough got going. They done everything. But he said, you've left your first love. Think back. Think back to when you first got saved and first started serving. Think back. That kind of scared me when I looked at this message. Now, I was ignorant, man. I mean, so far ignorant when I first started preaching and first started serving, and I'm still ignorant about a lot of things. Now, I'm glad I've grown in that. I hope I've grew and growed in that aspect. But I don't ever want to, as much as I don't want to lose my love for my wife and that romance that's there, I don't want to do that with the Lord either. I don't want my service just to be something. Just to do what we do it because we're supposed to. I want to do it because I love Him. He said there'll be a repercussion if you don't. He said I'll come and remove the candlestick from you. I think He wants us to serve Him. I want you to remember. Remember what it's like first to be saved. You got to do something. Do it. If you sing, sing, preach, preach. I remember when it was an exciting thing just to go help my preacher mow his yard. Y'all have heard me say that before. Just got to go help him mow his yard. Just getting to serve the Lord some way, somehow. I was just getting to serve Him. I was excited about that. When's the last time you've ever been excited about serving the Lord? Let's bow our heads this morning.